Very thankful to be back with you guys again this evening. This morning we tried to look at the very first time that the word love was mentioned in the Bible, and how it was and is to us a beautiful picture of just how much our heavenly husband loves us enough to go to the cross of Calvary for you and for me. With love still being on my mind, I would like to go to the second place that love is mentioned in the Bible. And it's not too far away from where we were this morning. You have your Bibles, and I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 24. In Genesis chapter 24, in verse 67, the very last verse of Genesis chapter 24, it says, "And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." That is the second time that this Bible uses a form of the word love. This is a long chapter, and I do very much beg and interest in your prayers that I don't hold you hostage for all night, because I very well could. It would not be hard for me to do so. But I want to look at how we got to verse 67. best way to look at it is start at verse 1 of chapter 24. "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto the son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." So this chapter begins by Abraham, even older than what he was in Genesis 22, gathering his eldest, most loyal servant, and saying, "I have a task for you to do. What I want you to do is I want you to bring Isaac, my son, a bride. Now, I don't want you to go to out here in this land that we live in now. I don't want you to go and find a bride out here in the land of the Canaanites. But I want you to go to my people, my kindred, where I am from, my homeland, and I want you to find a bride there." This is going to be a picture of God the Father calling a gospel minister to a particular people to preach the good tidings to a particular bride that she has a husband that she's never met. This is what this task looks like. A gospel minister is not called by a mother and is not called by a father, even though sometimes people think it is. It is not called by man's own ambitions, but it is a very heavenly Father calling. And the task at hand is not to go out to the land of the Canaanites, this gospel message of a bride having a groom is not for the Canaanites, it's not for anyone else other than the Father's kindred. Now, who is the Heavenly Father's kindred? Well, it's all the ones that he adopted before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians chapter 1, we read about before the world ever began, that God the Father elected and predestinated and adopted a particular people. And that particular people, that's what this message is going to be for. It's not for everybody. Paul in 2 Thessalonians talks about, he mentions praying that they are delivered from wicked and unruly men, because not all men have faith. If the gospel minister's role is to make children of God out of ones who are not children of God, that verse, that prayer, that pleading that Paul has to the Thessalonian church, it doesn't quite make sense. But this gospel message, the gospel minister, is sent to a particular people for a particular reason, to inform the bride that she has a bridegroom. So Abraham's servant goes, and he's traveling, and he's got a whole caravan with him, and he's going, and he arrives to Abraham's homeland. And the first thing that we read that he does is he prays to God. We get to verse 11. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, when the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show me kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, that she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. The very first thing he did when he got there was prayed to God. I don't need to tell you this like you don't know, but prayer is so important. It is literally a direct line for you and me to actually talk to God in heaven. There doesn't need to be a mediator between us and God. There doesn't need to be a relay switch. It's a direct line, and that ought to be, it may not be convicting to you, but it's definitely convicting to me, because as awesome as prayer is, I know I don't do it enough. That's never my first instinct to do. And I'm ashamed to say that it's not my first instinct to do, but sometimes it's just not. I told you this morning that I was up till about 3 o'clock this morning, And I could have saved myself so much time if I would have just immediately went to the Lord and prayed, and I probably could have gotten so many hours of sleep. If I would have just went to Him in prayer first, because I know He would have blessed me with the peace I was looking for. Just how many times do we just think we have it under control? Things go awry, and then we realize we should have went to God first. And here, the servant of Abraham, immediately he gets there, and the first thing he does is, one, thank God for the journey, the safe traveling journey to get there, but also guidance on what he needs to do for the reason why he's there. And you know, sometimes prayer can be hard because it feels like we need an answer immediately, and it doesn't seem to always come. Sometimes the answer is just not yet. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's very instant. And this is a particular time when it is very instant. In verse 15, and it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. While this servant of Abraham was still in the middle of his prayer to God, here comes Rebekah. I love reading the Bible, especially a lot of the Old Testament, because it's almost as if you are, it is. This is a narrative, and there are, and we can get a wide angle of what's happening. And I can just see the servant of Abraham praying to God here at the well, and it zooms out just a little bit, and we see this figure approaching closer and closer while we're still hearing the words of Abraham's servant, and Rebekah is still getting closer and closer to him, and he says, amen, and he looks up, and there's Rebekah. I mean, sometimes the Bible could really just be an awesome movie if they would just let it. You know, there's so many feel-good moments where you're just like, you know, something amazing is about to happen. And so they have this servant of Abraham and Rebekah. They have a conversation, and she meets all of the requirements. She not only gives the servant and the men and the camels water, but she also is Abraham's family. You know, there are a lot of different religions and different denominations, and they all mean well. But you know, they may have some things right, but they may not have other things right. And what I mean by that is, this particular moment, the servant of Abraham prayed for two things. There were two requirements. What would have happened? Just imagine for a moment, what would have happened if the servant of Abraham just took the surface level response and saying, okay, she watered me, my men, and all the camels, and did not ask who her family was. And if Rebekah wasn't related to Abraham, imagine how awful it would have been for him and for Abraham to just feel like that was enough, that that was good enough, that that was acceptable, to bring her back, and Abraham find out that this wife that the servant has got for Isaac didn't meet all the requirements. It would be a mess. You know, there's some people that have some things right. They don't have all things right. In John chapter 4, Jesus Christ is having a conversation with a woman at the well. And he's talking about what it means that God is seeking out true worshipers. And true worshipers worship God in spirit and in truth. There are some people that have one or the other. There are some people that have a lot of spirit, a lot of zeal, a lot of love towards God, but they lack truth. There are some people that have the truth of God, but lack a whole lot of spirit. And we need both to properly worship God the way that God wants us to worship. So this Rebecca, this servant made absolutely sure that that Rebecca fit all of the requirements that Abraham has set out. And once he finds out that she fits all the requirements, you know what he does? Abraham sent his servant with tons and tons of jewelry and riches and just examples of his wealth and prosperity and blessings that the Lord has blessed him with. And the servant adorns Rebecca with a whole bunch of earrings and bracelets and all of these things there at the well. And she brings every single one of them to her family's home. And her family notices something that's a tad different about Rebecca. She went out not having any jewelry and bracelets and earrings, and she wasn't decked out from head to toe when she left, but now she is, and they're very curious to what happened. You know, child of God, that is exactly how you and I are as the bride of Christ, as we have been adorned with blessings upon blessings, with raiment, with robes of righteousness that God in heaven has just given us to not make a bride, but to show you the bride and to show everyone else that you are someone's bride, that you don't belong to yourself, but you belong to someone of great importance and great wealth and great prosperity. And that, I mean, just self-evaluate your own life and look at the amount of blessings that God has just blessed you with without you even thinking about it. And you can just, if you're really honest with yourself, you can say, I am definitely the Lord's. And Abraham's, and Rebecca's family sees Rebecca adorned with all of these riches and says, what's going on here? What is happening? Here's this stranger that's just giving you a whole bunch of stuff. What is going on? And I love verse 33. So the servant of Abraham is getting there in the house that Rebecca lives in, and they're asking, like, what is going on? Like, tell us what has happened. Why is Rebecca adorned with all of these things? In verse 33, and there was set meat before him to eat. They had fixed him a meal to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on. He was so excited. He was so excited to tell the ones there about Abraham, the goodness that God has blessed Abraham with, the riches that he has blessed Abraham with, the wealth and prosperity, and how he has much silver and gold and flocks upon flocks, and how the blessings of Isaac came to be. He just tells them everything from start to finish. You know, that's how the gospel minister ought to be like. I can just read his excitement. You know, there's so many wonderful and beautiful things that are found here in this word that a gospel minister doesn't have to make it about himself, but can just go on and on and on about how his and theirs, the church's heavenly Father, has blessed them with so many blessings, and how they how he is rich beyond compare, and how he has a miracle child, and what happened there on Mount Moriah, and what that means, and what that points to. Can't you just see the excitement here of this servant? And is that not what our role as gospel ministers ought to be like? And not even just gospel ministers. If you have any ounce of love towards this gospel, you're saying that same excitement ought to dwell in you. It ought to overflow. Hearing what God has done for you, it ought to excite you, invigorate you to be that excited that you just want to tell everyone and just brag on God. And so he goes on and on and on and talks about the providence of God and how he got to this point in particular, and how God has blessed him, that before he was even done praying a prayer to God, that here is Rebecca. And he just goes on and tells a beautiful story of the providence of God. And it gets time for him to leave with Rebecca. And in verse 52, and it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. After Abraham's servant just got done telling them everything from start to finish, their response is basically, that is a beautiful story, and we'll let her go. Like that sounds great. And his immediate response again is to bow and to pray and to worship the Lord. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. And he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink. He and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. So they have one last night together, and the servant of Abraham adores them, and not just Rebekah, but adorns the whole family with precious blessings and treasures. And her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days. At least 10. After that, she shall go." The family, I don't know if the family was saying, "Oh, we can milk this a little bit. We can milk this as much as we can. Well, why don't you stay and continue giving us all these blessings? But before you and Rebekah go." And he said unto them, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." He says, "I have more important things to do. I have a task at hand. Let me go in peace." In verse 58, "And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go." This is exactly what it means to be a disciple of God, a follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This doesn't make us a bride. This doesn't make us accepted before the world began. This doesn't make us elected. But we get to go on this journey with the servant that has been called by the Father to ever get closer to seeing our heavenly husband. Now, this is not... I am not saying that this is Rebekah earning heaven by accepting this call to go. But you know, there is a peace and a heaven on earth when we do what the Lord wants us to do in our lives. There are many things that He has told us to do as children of God, as the bride of Christ, that if we do them, we'll get to experience a little heaven here on earth. But it's not an eternal heaven. This is not a text to point to something like progressive sanctification. As we get closer and closer, we get more heavenly. This isn't that case. But while we're here on this side of glory, and we decide to follow this call to go towards and live a life that is towards our heavenly husband, our response, when we've heard all of these wonderful blessings about our God in heaven, our response ought to be, I will go. To leave the things that are going to be holding me back. This Rebekah left her mother and her brother, who very plainly and very clearly wanted her to stay, and were going to hinder her from living her best life there with her husband that she's never met yet. But Rebekah did not listen to them and said, I will go. In the same way as we talked about this morning about how Abraham left his two servants down at the bottom of the mountain because they were going to be a hindrance to Abraham and Isaac, so will some people and some things and some places in your life hinder you from actually enjoying the pleasures of being around your heavenly husband. So she goes, and they all go in a caravan. I would love to be there and hear the conversation that is had between the servant of Abraham and Rebekah. I don't quite know the distance. I don't know how long the journey was. I just got a feeling, and this is a little speculation, so I pray that you'll grant me just a little liberty. I can just imagine this scene playing out, that Rebecca is very curious to who her husband is. And I'm sure she asked as many questions as she could think of. And I'm sure with every answer to every question that the servant gave, that her love for her husband that she has never met yet, that she has not seen face to face yet, continues to grow with every foot that they get closer, with every step in the direction towards her new home, her new life, her new family. I can just imagine the love in her heart just swelling and growing more than she can bear. And is that not really just how our life is? I don't have all of the answers to all of the questions that you may have about your heavenly husband. I know that Brother Wynn also doesn't have all the answers, because I've asked him some questions, and sometimes his response is, "I just don't know." I know that there isn't a gospel minister that has everything figured out. And honestly, if there ever is one that says they got everything figured out, I probably wouldn't listen to them. But we as this servant of the Father, our role ought to make it so your love for your husband that you have never met grows with every step along the way. In verse 62, "And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahoi Roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh to the field to meet us? And the servant said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done." So as they get to the place that Isaac is, she looks up and sees this man, and the servant says, and she asks the servant, "Who is this?" And her servant says, "That is Isaac. That is your bridegroom. That is your husband." And you know, Rebecca does not meet him with arrogance. She does not meet Isaac with entitlement, because she has already been adorned with precious treasures and bracelets and earrings and things like that. She doesn't come in any type of way other than she covers herself with a veil in humility. You know, when we when we get to a point in our life when we are able to light off our camels, now whether we light off our camels in death or we light off our camels in the last day of the resurrection, when Jesus Christ comes back and we see our husband face to face, our response when we are going to see our husband face to face will not be in any form of arrogance, but will be nothing but humility and love for him. And we get to this verse that we started with. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. For this to be a picture of the child of God's journey in their life, getting to a point and learning about a husband that they've never met, and going on this journey to end up seeing their husband face to face for the first time, this is a beautiful spot to insert the very first time where love is mentioned between a husband and a wife. Amen. This morning we talked about in Genesis 22 how the very first time that love is mentioned, it's in regards to a father and a sacrificial love that he took and was going to sacrifice his son, and how that points to our Father in heaven sacrificing Jesus Christ for you and me. And what that means to us. But here is the first time where we read about a husband loving his wife. What does that mean for you and I right now? What it means for us is that when this journey of life that we are on is all said and done, and Jesus Christ comes back and then he parts the skies and he gathers us home to be with him forevermore, without sin, without sorrow, without death. Did you notice that it also says that when Rebekah finally got there and Isaac loved Rebekah, it said that Isaac was comforted after the death of his mother? You know what that means? That means that there's going to be a time where we all, that word comforted literally and very simply just means to give a sigh of relief, to breathe for the first time as if there has been a weight on your chest, that it was a struggle to breathe. You know what happens when we get to heaven for the first time and we're finally able to breathe a full sigh of relief, when we're able to breathe without this corruptible flesh that has so many problems from day to day, when sin no longer is in the equation, we get to finally love our husband perfectly as for the first time, and we get to experience the love that he has had for us from all the way back in eternity past. Amen. That we get to experience it in full. And it'll just be us and him and love forever and ever and evermore. World without end, with no more troubles or sorrows or pains or death. And it'll just be us and him and love. So the gospel message is not a message of manipulation. It is not a message of of what I sometimes say when people sometimes people got some a little twisted ideas about some things, and there sometimes it really and really and truly they'll hear what they feel like is a gospel message and are afraid. The book of Isaiah chapter 40 says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. This gospel message is a message of love, because the motivation of this gospel message is love. How from the very beginning, how God predestined a people out of love, how God the Son said, I'm going to love those people, and I love those people so much that I will die for those people. How God the Holy Spirit said, I love those people so much that I will born them of my Spirit and give them a sense of purpose, a sense of my love in their hearts. I will make them feel my love in their lives. And the Holy Spirit comes down and blesses us many times over and showers us with blessings upon blessings and love upon love until we meet our husband face to face for the first time. And there, he's coming back because of love. Everything about God is revolving around love. The book of 1 John says God is love. His message towards his children, his message towards his bride, is that he loves you so very much. Amen. And while we're on this journey, one way that we can show our love to our husband, whom we've never met face to face, is to do what Rebecca did and say, I will go where he wants me to go. I will go where he is, because I want to be where he is. And just have our love for him grow with every step of our lives while we're here on this side of glory until we see him face to face some sweet day. I thank you for your kind patience and attention this evening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.